Here, from the Bible. Maureen, thank you. I'm going to read.
The reading is from Mark chapter 16 and verses 1 to 20. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on people who are ill, and they will get well." After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it.
Thank you, Maureen. Had an interesting week. As I was planning what I might speak of today, some of you might know that over Lent, I've not been eating chocolate, and that's a big thing for me. So I was determined that I was going to talk about chocolate today, which I thought about it, and I had my 5 points. I was going to talk about the man on the cross, the maker on the cross, the mercy of the cross, the message of the cross, the miracle of the cross, M's. So I had it all nicely packaged, and it was going to be great. But Friday morning, when we had those two sticks, and I was breaking that stick and found it difficult to break, I knew that that's not what I need to talk about. It was all neatly packaged and just like a packet of M&Ms. But Jesus isn't all neatly packaged. And Easter Sunday, he broke out. He wasn't in that box. He wasn't in there. So no M&Ms this morning. So no chocolate in the sermon, but I thought we'd go one better. Perhaps you'd like to pass these round. Don't munch too loudly. You need to be listening as well. And just leave one for me, please.
Just the one.
So these eggs, they don't have any wrappings on them. They're free because Jesus has broken out. He's not all packaged up neatly in a box. Well, many years ago, there was a man on the Brooklyn Bridge, and his intention was to jump off. Well, a policeman had got there in time, so he sidled out next to him on the ledge of the bridge and was talking to this man and wanted to know, why are you wanting to jump? And the man said, life is hopeless. I'm miserable. There's no reason to live. And the policeman said to him, look, if I let you tell me for 5 minutes all the reasons why life is hopeless, why you're miserable, why you need to jump, will you listen to me for 5 minutes and I'll tell you all the reasons that life isn't hopeless and why it's not a good idea to jump. So the man agreed to this, and 5 minutes he opened his heart and just spoke about all the reasons why he felt life was hopeless. And then the next 5 minutes the policeman tried to talk about how, you know, it's not hopeless. But after 10 minutes both of them jumped off. They both lost hope. And I think that's true for lots of people today, maybe even some of us here this morning. Living in hopelessness. It may be through loss of, I don't know, financial security, loss of good health, loss of a close relationship. You know, it wasn't that different for Jesus' first followers 2,000 years ago. At the beginning of that passage that Maureen read to us, we hear, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb? They had a legitimate concern. You know, a typical stone that covered cave-like graves in those days would weigh about 2 tons. Now, I'm not very good at maths and figures, but I reckon, and I'm sure Keith will put me right here, I reckon that's going to be about 30 of me. Maybe Keith will put me right if you can't get so heavy I am. But I reckon that's about 30 of me. That's pretty heavy. So usually this type of stone would be rolled down an incline to fit in the opening of the cave. There'd be a little notch dug out in the front of the opening. So it was quite simple. I was about to say easy, it probably wasn't easy, but it was quite simple to get the stone in place. But actually to get it out of place would be very, very difficult. It's more than likely take at least 20 strong men to do that. And besides that, Matthew's account tells us there was a whole regiment of soldiers guarding the tomb. So these women had a bit of a problem. I don't know if you ever wondered, what did they think they were going to do? Did they, you know? But there we go. But it wouldn't have just been the weight of the stone that they had on their minds. The weight of the situation, too, would be heavy on their hearts. Their dearest friend and their hope for the future had been nailed to a cross. Jesus was dead. They were engulfed in hopelessness. Doesn't sound much like an Easter parade, does it? Those women going down there. No victory in the faces or the hearts of the followers of Jesus. It might have been Sunday morning, but they were stuck in the hopelessness of Saturday. Maybe for some of us this morning, we've got a bit of a Saturday. Stuck in a bit of a Saturday. Well, Jesus can move us out of a Saturday mentality into a Sunday state of mind. He can take us from Saturday, where death has defeated life, into Sunday, where life has defeated death. Jesus can take us from a Saturday mentality into a Sunday state of mind. Take us from Saturday, where death has defeated life, into Sunday, where life has defeated death. He can move us from the last day of death into the first day of life. And all of the Easter accounts tell us this. But there's one great story that I want to focus on, and that's of Mary Magdalene. In John chapter 20, we hear, "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white." You weren't in white this morning. Read your script. Anyway, she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." Let's just pause for a moment. Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene had buried more than a friend that weekend. She buried the only person who had helped her. We don't know a lot about her, and some people make some wild accusations and speculations about her. But let's just look at one sentence in Mark 16, verse 9. "Now when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons." In scripture, seven suggests completion. So Mary Magdalene was completely afflicted. Don't know what afflicted her. We don't know what her demons were. It might have been some sort of dependency. It might have been depression. But she was completely afflicted. People avoided her. And we have a tendency to avoid people like that, don't we? But Jesus didn't. He not only befriended her, he delivered her. And when she came to the tomb early on the Sunday morning and found that the body was gone, the stone was rolled away, it never occurred to her that Jesus was simply following through on what he said he would do. She missed the miracle. When she saw the two angels, she didn't realise they were angels. She missed them. And isn't that so with us? There are some times when despair is so deep, sadness so thick, and walls of hopelessness are so high that we feel we just can't get out. Tough times when we feel that the world is closing in on us. And we feel that if anything bad is going to happen, it's going to happen to us. And God could send miracle after miracle and blessing after blessing. And we're told to count our blessings. And it just doesn't help. It just doesn't work. And we wonder, what is Jesus doing in these times? Well, here's the answer. John 11, verses 14 and 15. "At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't realize it was Jesus. He asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?'" Do you see what Jesus did? He didn't give up on Mary. Most of us would, I'm sure. We'd think, "Look, there's the angels. They're talking to you. The tomb is empty. Come on. Don't you get it?" But Jesus didn't give up. The empty tomb and the angels didn't open her eyes. So Jesus took the matters into his own hands, and he came and he spoke to her. He didn't tell her to get herself together, to back up her ideas. He spoke with tenderness. "Mary, why are you crying?" He came to her like a gentle shepherd. Why would he do this? I'll tell you why. Because he's Jesus. And Jesus does that. He's ever patient. He's ever caring. He's the heart of God. He is so patient with you and with me. When the prophet Micah asked this question about God, "Where is another God like you who pardons the sins of survivors among his people?" You cannot stay angry with your people forever because you delight in showing mercy. Once again, you will have compassion on us. Jesus will have compassion on us, on you, on me. I'm sure at some point in our lives, there must have been a time when we felt Jesus or God was displeased with us, or even really mad, angry at us. And then we might start feeling bad. We might even think, if I really had it together, I'd get out of this. I'm tired of feeling bad. I'm tired of feeling bad when God must be really tired of me feeling tired and bad. And stories like this one about Mary Magdalene are in the Bible to let us know that that's not the case. It reminds us that God is patient, long-suffering with his children. He's more patient with you than you are. And he comes and he brings the message that says, Saturday has come, it's here. But Saturdays are always followed by Sundays. Am I wrong? What was yesterday? What's today?
Sunday.
Hey, it's happened again. Or as we read in Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may go on all night, but joy comes with the morning. So be patient. God is patient. Be patient with yourself. Eventually, that season passes and it's Sunday. When the Saturdays do come, do what Mary did. Notice her words to the angels. They have taken my Lord away. They have taken my Lord away. She just kept calling Jesus her Lord. In tough times, Jesus was still her Lord. Anybody can call Jesus Lord on the good days. But when we're moving through the Saturdays of life, it's not easy to call Jesus Lord. But when we can continue to call him Lord on the Saturdays, oh, how good it is when the Sunday comes. Let's listen to the end of the story. Thinking he was the gardener, she said, Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him. Hear her devotion to Jesus. I don't think she could have done this. I don't think she would have had the strength to have carried his body anywhere. She was just so devoted to him. That was the one thought in her mind. She wanted to look after him, look after his body, bring it back. But she also hadn't got the point of what was going to happen on the third day. Jesus was so touched by her devotion. He said to her, Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. When she heard Jesus call her name, she knew who he was. Listen, your heavenly Father, your heavenly King, your heavenly Daddy knows you, and he knows you by name. He doesn't just see humanity, he sees individuals. He sees us all and he knows us all by name. You call him Lord, but he calls you by name. The Bible says if we're willing to confess his name on earth, he will confess our name in heaven. Hold on to that. And his message for us this morning is this. He has moved the world into Sunday. And he wants you, he wants me to follow. It's not Saturday anymore. It may be Saturday in your state of mind. It may be Saturday in your outlook or in your emotions. But actually, God has already flipped the calendar. And we've moved out of the state of death and sin. We've moved into the era of life and grace. And that move took place 2,000 years ago. And anyone who wants to follow God from Saturday to Sunday can do so. And we believe that because there was a movement in the tomb containing Jesus on that Sunday morning. And the eyes that had fallen shut on the cross opened beneath the shroud. The hands that had fallen limp behind the nails straightened and strengthened beneath the veil. The lips, which had grown quiet on Saturday, spread into a soft smile on Sunday, because there was so much to smile about. The penalty for sin had been paid. It was finished. It was no longer Saturday. So Saturday's sadness turned into Sunday's beauty. And the beauty of Sunday stood up in the tomb. The beauty of Sunday stepped out into the Sunday morning dawn and told person after person that some of us are hearing him say for the first time, "Oh, it's Sunday, and I don't have to be afraid of the grave any longer. I don't have to live in guilt anymore. Sins are forgiven. Death is defeated. It's Sunday." That's good news.
Perhaps musicians like to come back up. We're going to be singing a song now. But as we do, I'll just ask you, if you're in any sort of Saturday, however big or however small, please don't stay there this morning. If you want to talk to someone about it, then I'd urge you to do that. And after the service, then I'm available. But if you can't wait till after the service, if you want to talk to someone, ask someone to pray with you whilst we're singing, then maybe turn to the person next to you or behind you and do that. Don't wait. Don't go out of here in a Saturday state. Let's go out in a Sunday, because it's a glorious morning. Hope is here.